Jesus responded by speaking again in parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding party for his son. He sent his servants to call those invited to the wedding party, but they didn't want to come. Now everything's ready. Come to the wedding party. But they paid no attention and went away, some to their fields, others to their businesses. The rest of them grabbed his servants, abused them, and killed them. The king was angry. He sent his soldiers to destroy those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding party is prepared, but those who were invited weren't worthy. Therefore, go to the roads on the edge of the town and invite everyone, you find, to the wedding party." Then those servants went to the roads and gathered everyone they found, both evil and good. The wedding party was full of guests. Now when the king came in and saw the guests, he spotted a man who wasn't wearing wedding clothes. He said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" But he was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, "Tie his hands and feet and throw him out into the farthest darkness. People there will be weeping and grinding their teeth." Many people are invited, but few people are chosen. The word of God.
Thanks be to God. All right, let's pray. God, for the grace you extend to us before we even knew, for the ways in which you speak into our world that is so overwhelming right now, the ways you speak into the space with love and compassion, with feasting and with joy. Help us to recognize those places so that we may come to know you, that we may come to know who you are calling us to be in ways that are to your glory and not ours. We thank you for this time and the spirit that has gathered us in this particular place at this particular moment. Let us continue to continually grow together in our faith. We pray all this in the name of Christ. Amen. All right. Also, your chat room question today, into what may God be inviting you or us to? Like, what are we asking? Who's God? Where are we being invited into? What banquets? And then how might we be otherwise occupying our time? And I'll talk about that as not always positive or negative. It's just what is taking our time and energy these days for us. So those are your questions today, and those will pop up later as well. I think about these parables. We hear these parables all the time, and these are what we understand as the kingdom parables. And here we talk about kingdom, this idea that it is a gathering of the siblings of Christ, and we are in this space that God calls us together. And so we understand that these parables are about a few things. They're about human freedom. It's about our ability to make choices in our lives, to follow who God is calling us to be, or to go in other directions, to figure out where those are. And we have the patterns of God's relationship with humanity are always about this God placing things before us, revealing things, us making decisions, in some parts God reacting that in different ways. But it really is about our human understanding that God gives us this ability to begin to decide how we're about to follow God. It is also about divine sovereignty. We can't get away from the parables, especially the kingdom parables, without realizing this is about God deciding. It's God's judgment about who and how we receive eternal life. This idea that how we grow into who God wants us to be is God kind of saying to us, it is my decision, it is my judgment, it is how I deem you to be, and not you, right? The key is it's not you, because humans get into trouble so often when we decide to play the owners, the farm owners, all those things. When we decide, we get to decide who is in or who is out. And the parables are not about that. It's not about us deciding. It's a reminder that it's about divine sovereignty, this divine understanding of ultimate life and eternal life for us. And they're also about these invitations. The kingdom parables are about these calling, these invitations into who God hopes us to become in a variety of ways, calling people into a vineyard, calling people into a banquet. It's this invitation, and how do we respond to the invitation that we receive and the invitation of others? So that's generally about these parables. But today, we want to make sure that as we enter into this one, because there's some pretty dramatic reaction by God, is that we're not responding. In our tradition, we don't respond to the threat of condemnation. We don't respond to this idea that if we don't do this, then God is somehow, wrath is going to pour upon us. There are some Christian traditions that is where they fully kind of bank all their money on, right? If you just behave the right way, then God will reward you. As opposed to this other idea that we respond because we have been invited to the banquet, that we've already been invited in, and whether we choose to acknowledge or live out of that, that's the difference in a tradition that responds out of an understanding that we've all been invited, we've all been received, and we trust that God has said to us, you are invited to the vineyard, into the banquet, and so now what are you going to do? So it's not as if, what are you going to do, and then I'll decide. It's you're invited in, and now what are we going to do? How are we going to respond to this gracious invitation? So as you're looking at theological traditions, as you think about the ways in which the Presbyterians and others kind of think about this, is we respond out of this idea that the invitation has already been given and extended to us. And so now we are, the choice is for us. What do we do with that? For me, the banquets that we think about, as we think about where we're invited into and what kinds of things we're invited into, these aren't just metaphorical banquets. This isn't just some banquet in the sky. These are these places that if you think about your life and where you put your energy and time and those moments you felt closest to God, it's about nourishment, like nourishment of our body, mind, and spirit. It's places that provide us new life, or places that provide us a sense of hope. And it's a place where we can see that resurrection is real, that we can believe that out of the depths of despair and things that just are horrible and awful in our world and in our life, there are these places that remind us that we are resurrection people, that we actually believe, and however you want to frame resurrection, that out of death, there can be new life through God. And so we understand that calling as those are the banquets that we should be receiving invitations, accepting invitations to. Because not every invitation is to a banquet. Not every invitation is to something that is life-giving. Some of our invitations are to things that suck the very life out of us and drain us. And those may not be the invitations we should accept. And so we have to think about this idea of banquets as being about new life, hope, and resurrection. And so I wonder for us, what banquets are we being invited to? What are those invitations that were in our day and time right now that we frame them in a way that they are banquets? I think about banquets right now and this call to think about anti-racism and this idea that we step into those spaces, not as a burden, but because it gives us new life, because there are these moments where we can realize that out of death and destruction, violence and oppression, that there is new life after that, that even out of the things that have been happening in our country and in the world for over history, that there is hope and new life by entering the banquet of these conversations. We think about climate change, right? That if we don't believe we can do something, if we don't believe that there is new life after so much death, then what are we doing? So these banquets around thinking about our environment and climate change, what does it mean for us to step into those and receive new life? What does it mean for us to think about evangelism? I know that for many, that is a word that strikes fear and gives you chills. But I've always believed that if this faith is one that has transformed you and has made you closer to God and figured out who God is calling you to be, then why wouldn't we want to share that good news with others? if this is a faith that has led you to a place of justice and compassion, if it has led you to a space of empathy and of, you know, values that are about the common good, why wouldn't we want to share that? Is that a banquet that we are invited into? Is it immigration, as Jeff offered earlier? Is it about how we welcome people into our communities, how we sit in those spaces and see new life and are nourished by them? Is it gun violence? Or these lists can go on and on and on of these places that we may not see as banquets, as always these kind of places that on the outside look like they're going to be filled with rejoicing and joy all over the place, but yet they are. These are the banquets that God is calling us into so that we may experience new life and hope. That list can go longer, and I put them in the chat. I mean, I think there are lots of places, these banquets, where we can get new life. But there are a lot of reasons why we hold back, why we don't accept that invitation, why, for whatever reason, God puts an invitation in front of us and we can't accept it. Sometimes we do hold back, and some are really valid reasons. One of the ways that I've shifted my own understanding of invitation and joy into spaces around life and wholeness is, I've shared this story before, I think, back when we were in person, and back in 2003, so almost 17 years ago, I was in the hospital for over a month and was in intensive care, and I had a severe case of pancreatitis. And if any of you ever had that, it got to the point where your insides are basically digesting themselves, and it is incredibly painful. This image is of, they're called spirometers, or I can't remember what they're called, but they test your breath. And whenever I see one of these, I'm always reminded I'm teleported back into that hospital room for most of it, I didn't know what was really going on. I was on a lot of morphine for much of that time. And it was, you know, I imagine for my family and for Robin, Annie, who was only six, you know, and young children, it was a very traumatic time. It was in intensive care on Christmas Eve. And I remember my mom telling me that she wouldn't pick up the phone on Christmas Eve because she did not want to find out that her son had died on Christmas Eve. She wasn't going to do it. I was like, well, great, Mom, you're not going to pick up the phone. But I made it through, obviously. But there was a moment during that experience. I was sitting in, you know, the emergency room was packed. I was on a gurney. I was in a hallway. And I was in so much pain. And I've never been in more pain before or after. They had put me on some really, really strong medications. And I remember saying to God and myself, I'm done. Just take me now. And this wasn't sarcastic. It wasn't me trying to be self-deprecating about it. It wasn't any way of coping. I was done. I was in so much pain. I was willing to just have it be over. And I remember that moment because there are some choices in all of that that we begin to make about what happens and about our futures and about life and about where we put our energy and our time. And for me, what it opened up my eyes to as I began to come out of that, as I began to heal and see the world differently, you know, it feels as dramatic as it was, that there is banquet and joy all around us if we're willing to step into it, that there's so much around us. And even in the midst of today, where it feels like our culture and our politics and our society and our world are the worst that many of us have ever experienced, all around us, there are banquets of nourishment and joy and hope. And we can't lose sight of that. We can't get to the point where we say to God, I'm done. Take me now. And not just in a playful, oh gosh, this is horrible, but really, when we get to the point where we just can't step into any more joy or see that there's life around us, we can't get to that point because God will always and is always inviting us into a banquet. But yet there are times where we can't take that invitation. I've been taking every moment I can to share this picture. We took this last week of our newest niece that we weren't able to see. She was born in in April of this year, and with pandemic, we made choices not to see her. And there's lots of reasons with the way the Robin's interaction with her dad and our family and kind of our huge extended family. And we finally decided, and my sister, we just said, we're just going to see this baby and we're going to do a socially distant visit, but we're holding the baby. And so this is baby E and Annie, the youngest of ours and the youngest of my sisters. And there are sometimes, I want to say, there are sometimes reasons we can't receive every invitation to every banquet. Because I think what we fail to understand sometimes is there are things going on in people's lives and worlds that it is easy for us to say, why aren't you there? Why didn't you come here? Why didn't you do this? And we just never know what is happening in somebody's life. And we, in some ways, give ourselves permission to not always take up that invitation right then and right now. This parable could easily be portrayed as God invites and you come no matter what, but sometimes I think we overschedule our hearts, minds, and spirits, and we become overwhelmed with all the things that we believe God is asking us to step into. And so as we think about these invitations that God is presenting before us, I want us to think about the reality that ourselves and others, that there are reasons that we may not be able to accept God's invitation right now at this very time in the ways that we all may want people to accept them. And that is okay. That again, we're not relying on judgment because of what we do. We're relying on the idea that the invitation has been offered. And at some point, in some way, we will receive that. The reality is right now, I think grief is so real. As I talk with people, as I myself kind of go through these ebbs and flows, that we have to be attentive to our own healing. Because I think for many of us right now, and I know many of you, that there are these moments in your day where you feel like you're barely holding on. You feel like the world is so overwhelming and that there is so much vitriol and hate and lies and just all kinds of stuff that's out there that you feel like it's just overwhelming and we can't hold on anymore. And that's real. And I think that is a genuine reason to begin to step back from some things. But the question I would ask ourselves is, what gives you life? In the middle of that grief, it's not about moving on in anybody's timetable, but it's about remembering that there is life around. There is hope. And so what gives you that hope and that new life in the midst of the grieving? What gives you that sense that God is still present? And to constantly ask ourselves that question so that we don't get swallowed up by our grief. That the power of the pandemic or of our politics doesn't overwhelm us so much so that we fail to be able to see God's joy and life around us. So there are reasons to step away because the grief is real. I also know that in an unsettled world, often what we do is we try to control our surroundings. We see things that may be off kilter or a little bit, we want to fix, we want to control, we want to name, because there's so much that's out of our control that we will grab onto anything around us in any space that we can possibly reach out to and try to control it. But we have to sometimes step back out of that and ask ourselves the question, what are in the frantic nature of the world, what am I trying to control so that I can feel like I know what's going on and I have a sense of what's going on in the world? Sometimes we got to give that up. Sometimes we just have to not control everything that happens all around us. So many conversations have been about things that in normal times, whatever those look like anymore, we would not care as much. We would let things go. We would trust that things are moving, but there are times now where I feel like sometimes there are moments where we try to control every little thing. In my own household, as I think about things that are out of place or messy or anything, I want to try to control them. I have a label maker, and then when I'm really out of control, I start labeling things just because it feels like now everything is right in my world. But we're not able to control everything. And so we have to ask ourselves the question about what are we not just trying to control, but I think in such an unsettled, fast world right now, what are we frantically trying to control? And how do we give ourselves a chance to take some breath? And the last thing that I think happens and ways we don't always receive the invitation is that in times of crisis, we have to tend the soils of our imagination. I think when we're being invited to these places and there's so much going on in our world and we're in crisis, our imaginations start to shrivel. And if there's any other time that God needs our imaginations to be more bountiful than we could have ever imagined, is now. For us to imagine beyond the crisis and beyond the overwhelming nature, where is the banquet of new life and hope? It is easy to see joy and to be imaginative when everything around us is going well. It's easy when life feels like it's swimming along to love and to show compassion and empathy. But when times of crisis, when there are times where we're feeling overwhelmed and overextended, our imaginations are one of the first things we give up. But you know, what I think God is inviting us into as people of faith is God saying to us, you are not just called to be who you are as a community, but you are called to be my people out in the world. What are the banquets of new life and hope around us that we can facilitate and create? Our imaginations, the imaginations and our faithful understandings of a banquet for the world. In a time of crisis, we're going to constrict and we're going to want to pull in, but this is the very time where the world needs us to step out and to be more loving and more just and to be a voice for those who are experiencing these same things in places where they are seeking the divine and seeking comfort and seeking a way to understand and belong to community. It is our imaginations in this time that we cannot hold back on, but in fact, we need to unleash. Because it is through God's Spirit in us that we will imagine banquets like we've never, ever thought about before. So I invite you, this was back when we actually ate together and sat at a table in our fellowship hall. I invite you to the banquet. All right, there are going to be times where you can't take that invitation, but we are a people, and you have been a people, and we will be a people that continually prepare a meal, whether it's a meal of justice, whether it's a meal of actual food, whether it's a meal of hospitality, whether it's a meal of study and intellectual curiosity, whether it's just a meal that worship provides for people. We invite people to the banquet. You are invited. You have always been. And so now dinner's served. It's time to eat. So step into this space with joy. Hold on to the grief as long as you need to, but don't try to control the space. Let God go in your life and let God move and let our imaginations for what that banquet may look like in the future come alive. While this is an overwhelming time, I know for many, this is the exact time when God needs us to be bold, imaginative, and life-giving to the world. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, for the Spirit that continues to move us, the Spirit that opens up our hearts, our minds, and our souls to the ways in which you invite us to the banquets in the world. Give us acknowledgement and give us notice that these are places of joy and nourishment so that we may accept freely. And in those times where we can't show up, remind us that there is life around us. Let us hold on to whatever grief and sadness that we may have, but let it not control who we are and who we are becoming. For you are with and amidst all of it every single day. We thank you for this time and for the people gathered around this space. Let us move into the world with imagination and love. Amen.